Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore.
As we think more about God's word, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Psalms. We thank you for this gift to your people of songs, of prayers, which help us to express ourselves before you. So please, by your Spirit, would you draw us into these words you've written for us this morning. Help us to know them and to believe in them in our hearts. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Well, how is your walk today? How is your walk today? I'm not talking about your walk to church. I think probably most people here in the building have walked to church, or whether you're feeling a bit stiff, maybe you've been away for a week's walking in the Lake District Hills this week, or maybe you've got some aches and pains. We all know about them. Now, I'm talking about the way the Bible uses our walk. So quite frequently in the Bible, our walk is more fully our walk with the Lord. It's another way of describing living the Christian life. So how is our walk with the Lord this morning? How are we going? Do we feel like we're striding out? Maybe we've been buoyed up by listening to all those talks at virtually Keswick this week, and we're full of the joy of the Lord. Maybe we're sort of ambling along, just enjoying a nice walk in the sunshine. Maybe we've just been stumbling a little bit recently, possibly even ground to a halt. Or maybe for some, it feels like we're even going backwards in some sense. How is your walk this morning? Well, we're starting a little series over August, thinking about some of these psalms. They're called the Songs of Ascent. You'll see that in the little title under the number in your Bible, Psalm 121, A Song of Ascent. And you'll see that under all of them from Numbers 120 to 134. Songs of Ascent. Now, ascent just means sort of climbing up, going up. And so these are often thought to be songs that pilgrims might have sung with and to one another as they headed up to Jerusalem. Oh, we almost had some power for a minute then. But songs that God's people were singing as they headed up to Jerusalem, probably to go to one of the great festivals to celebrate, particularly at the temple. If you know anything about the geography of Jerusalem, you'll know that Jerusalem was built on a number of hills. And so you'd go up to Jerusalem, like we might say you go up to London. I'm just going to pause here. So yeah, talking about going up to Jerusalem with God's people. And that's a great picture, actually, for the Christian life for all of us. The Bible talks about our walk, and we're going somewhere, aren't we? We're heading towards the heavenly city. John Bunyan picked up on this very much in his book Pilgrim's Progress, didn't he? Talking about Christian walking towards the celestial city. We're going to a destination. We're going to a place where we will fully and joyfully and gloriously worship with the Lord in the ultimate temple, not just a building in Jerusalem, but the heavenly temple, the new creation, the new heaven and the new earth. So we as Christians can use these wonderful psalms as songs for our journey through this life to the new creation. We're going to be looking at five of them through August, 121, 126, 127, 130, and then the last one, 134. But as we begin Psalm 121 here, let me read again the first couple of verses. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. As you read that opening line, I lift up my eyes to the mountains, where does my help come from? I wonder how that makes you feel. I wonder what it makes you think the psalmist was feeling. Because I guess you could read that in two quite different ways, couldn't you? You could maybe think of the pilgrim heading to Jerusalem, and he lifts up his eyes and sees the hills, and they seem dark and dangerous. Maybe the places that robbers might hang out, like the guy in the parable of the Good Samaritan, who got beaten up by robbers in the hills on the road between Jerusalem and Jericho. Maybe think Lord of the Rings and the mountains of Mordor, dark and dangerous and full of evil. Or maybe you might think, I lift up my eyes to the mountains, a bit like that experience as you drive into the Lake Districts on the 591 and you just see the mountains rising in front of you, and that just lifts my spirits every time, particularly if it's nice and sunny, or maybe they're snow-topped mountains, and you just think of the Lord, the one who is higher than the mountains. But whether this brings a scary feeling or an inspiring feeling, we actually get a little bit of background in Psalm 120 as to what the psalmist might be thinking. Joe referred to that just before in our service. Psalm 120 verse 1, the previous psalm, the first of the songs of ascent. I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. Save me, Lord. The psalmist is looking at the world around him, and he sees lying lips and deceitful tongues. He sees those who don't want to make peace, but want to make war at the end of the psalm. He knows he lives in a world that is broken and full of lies and war. That's our world, isn't it? And maybe he's scared by that. He's worried by that, by the problems of this world. In Pilgrim's Progress, Christian is walking from the city of destruction, the city of this world. The city is headed for destruction towards that celestial city. And that is what we are doing as well. We're walking from a broken, fallen, sinful world full of deceit and lies and war towards a new creation. And it's in that context that the psalmist lifts up his eyes to the mountains, and he cries out for that help to be saved. And he remembers, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And very often in our walks, it's the problems of life, isn't it, that make our walk so hard with the Lord. And immediately the psalmist is saying, however big your problems, remember the one who made the mountains, the one who made heaven and earth. He is beyond size. He puts everything into perspective. But it's easy to know these truths, isn't it? To be able to recite them in our hearts. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. It's easy to know these things in our heads. But actually in our hearts, maybe they sometimes ring a little bit hollow. Yeah, I know that's true, Lord, but I just don't feel it. I don't feel like that as I'm walking along. I feel alone and isolated. Maybe particularly during lockdown, that's been our experience, feeling vulnerable and on our own. I don't know if you noticed as Beth read the psalm, there's a clear change between verses 1 and 2 and 3 to 8. Have a look down again and see if you can spot any difference in those verses. Let me give you a clue if you're good at grammar. Look at the pronouns that the psalmist uses. Verses 1 and 2 are full of I and my. There's the individual pilgrim speaking. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. My help comes from the Lord. Look at verses 3 to 8. It's not I and my anymore, is it? It's you and your. The pilgrim isn't on his own. Maybe he felt a bit on his own. But there's at least one other voice with him, isn't there? He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Quite possibly this is the group of pilgrims with the individual. He's got a bit stuck in his own head and he's seeing all his problems bigger than they really are and getting weighed down by them. And he just can't get his head around them. And suddenly he hears the voices of those around him. We're with you. We're walking with you. And that is the wonder of our walk with the Lord, that we're given one another to walk together. And that's been a problem of lockdown, hasn't it? We've been separated. Until recently, none of us have been able to meet together on a Sunday morning like that. And we've all felt that. It's been really encouraging to hear how many people have sort of realized what a value it is to meet together because we've not been able to do so. It's been really encouraging to see the way that many in our church families have sought to meet up in all sorts of different ways, whether online or permissibly in gardens and things like that, to be able to encourage each other to do exactly what Psalm 121 is doing. I know truth in my head. I know the Lord is my helper, but I'm just struggling to feel that in my heart right now. Well, let's listen to one another. Let's support one another in that. As we move from the mountains and their maker to the Lord, our keeper. This is what it is for the Lord to be our helper. The one who made heaven and earth. What is the experience of having the Lord as our helper? Well, verses 3 to 8 are just full of wonderful, wonderful, comforting truths, aren't they? That these pilgrims were speaking to each other and which we can speak to one another as well. And the key idea throughout all of these verses is the Lord is the one who watches over or keeps us. It appears 6 times in these 6 verses, not quite one a verse, annoyingly for pedants like me, but once in verse 3, 4 and 5, not in verse 6, twice in verse 7 and then in verse 8. And put them together and you get a wonderful sense. God, the Lord, keeps watch over us. Like a parent watching over their young baby. Whether asleep in the cots, or whether beginning to toddle about and get into all sorts of scrapes and dangers. That vigilance of the new parent watching their precious, precious child. The Lord keeps watch over each of us, his children, in that wonderful way. And again, these verses are full of the fact that the Lord never knocks off duty, does he? He doesn't slumber or sleep. He never has a nap. He never needs to go to the loo. He never has a tea break. He never even puts the baby monitor on. He is always watching, whether by day or by night, now and forevermore. The Lord keeps watch over us, always. And that means he keeps us from falling. As he watches over us, he keeps us from falling, verse 3. He will not let your foot slip. Sometimes we really need to hear that, don't we? We feel like our feet are slipping from under us. We're walking in a room full of banana skins or an oil slick. It feels like every move we make is the wrong one. We get into more and more problems, feel more and more guilty. And in our heads, we're just getting burdened and weighed down by this, and we can't see a way out of it, and we feel defeated. And we need someone else just to say, the Lord will not let your foot slip. I can remember one time I was climbing Helvellyn with my brother-in-law, Daniel. And we set off and the weather was okay, but as always in the lakes you need to be prepared, don't we? And we got up just past hole in the wall towards Striding Edge, obviously, and the cloud began to come down. It was quite a number of years since I'd done Striding Edge with my father as a little boy. And so I sort of vaguely remembered it, and I knew there was a tricky bit somewhere along the line, but I had no idea where that was, and Daniel didn't know either. Quite wonderfully, we just happened to catch up with a group who had a guide with them. They were quite happy for us to tag along the back because they knew of the dangers that we might be facing. And that guide walked us all through that tricky patch of mountain, making sure that our feet didn't slip, which there could be fatal. Because that is what can be at stake, isn't it? If the Lord is not watching over us, keeping our feet from slipping, keeping us from falling, then it could be fatal, eternally fatal. That is what is at stake. And there's the added dimension in these verses. In verse 4, indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. using that special name, Israel, that God gave to his people. It speaks of that special relationship God has with his people, that he is their God, they are his people. He is their shepherd, they are the sheep of his pasture, as an earlier psalm reminds us of. He redeems, rescues his people. When we do get ourselves into scrapes, when it feels like our foot is slipping, he is there to come in and save us, to rescue us from sin and doubt, temptations, despair, guilt, fear, pride, whatever it is that makes our feet slip. He keeps us from falling catastrophically. There's a wonderful verse at the end of Jude's letter, right at the end of the New Testament, Jude, verse 24, where he writes this: "To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy." That is what the Lord does for us. He keeps us and presents us without fault and with great joy. He keeps us from falling. He keeps us from harm. Maybe as I spoke about keeping us from falling, it felt like that sort of guide who was there but not quite close at hand, had other people to worry about. Maybe it just felt a little bit distant. Well, if you're feeling that at all about the Lord, just look at verses 5 and 6 and listen to the fellow pilgrims here. "The Lord watches over you. He is your shade at your right hand." The right hand is symbolically the closest you can be. You think right hand man. Right there, the Lord is your shade protecting you. Protecting you here, first and foremost, from the sun. Now, we might quite like a bit of sunshine, and although it did get pretty hot this week, didn't it? But just magnify that a few times in Israel. Think of the pilgrims walking through what is nigh on a desert. The sun is fearsome. It is blinding. It is hot. It causes dehydration. It can cause sunstroke, even send people mad, dying of thirst. To have a shade, a shelter at your right hand, protecting you every step of the way from the dangers of the day, or for the Jews, the moon. I don't know if there's an equivalent of moonstroke. Certainly people talk about being moonstruck, don't they? And the moon is associated with lunacy of all sorts, isn't it? The unknown dangers of the night. And the Lord is our shade. He keeps us safe. We live in the shadow of the Almighty, who protects us from the sun, from the moon, by day and by night. He gives us all we need for the journey, grace sufficient for every challenge, for every danger. And we need this, don't we? Because we have an enemy as well. We're not only like maybe little children who can get themselves into all sorts of scrapes and dangers and need that parent watching them. But we have an enemy who prowls around looking to pick off struggling sheep. It is the devil, like a roaring lion, seeking to wreak havoc amongst God's people. And we have the one there to protect us. He is our shade, our shelter, our refuge, our rock and our redeemer. He keeps us from all harm. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't experience anything difficult in the Christian life. We mustn't misunderstand what the psalmist is saying here, that he will not let your foot slip. That means that you'll never even sort of trip over anything, or that you'll never experience anything that is untoward or against you. No, of course we will. It's talking about the effect of these things and the wonderful truth that God is able to use them for good and not for harm. It just reminded me of those wonderful words at the end of Genesis when Joseph looks at his brothers who treated him oh so badly, who at first thought to kill him and then sold him into slavery. "You intended it for harm, but God intended it for good." That is what God can do because he is the maker of heaven and earth. Just think about Jim and Elizabeth Elliot. Those tribesmen intended it for harm, for evil, in killing Jim and his friends. And yet God intended it for good, to bring them to Christ through Elizabeth's bravery. That is what God can do. So powerful, so wonderful, so careful, so caring, so close, such a shelter is he. As we walk, we can know that if he is with us, even the adversities, even the trials, even the problems, the sufferings, the persecutions, cannot ultimately harm us, but are intended for good, because he keeps us forever. We need these final verses, don't we? The Lord will keep us from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Your coming and your going. It describes all of life, really, doesn't it? We're always either coming or going. Now and forevermore. The Lord is watching over us, keeping us from falling, now and forevermore. Keeping us from harm, now and forevermore. He will not fail us. He will not go off duty. In life, in death, he is our hope, because he promises to always be there for us. This week, Christopher Ash was encouraging us in Psalms 2-6 at the Keswick Convention to be thinking about the Lord Jesus singing these psalms. And Jesus sang this psalm. Just imagine him walking up a very specific hill, lifting his eyes to that mountain, the mountain of Calvary, where he would be crucified. And he could know that even as he walked to his death, his help would come from the Lord. He could hand himself over to him who judges justly, knowing that he would bear the full wrath of God on the cross, but that death could not hold him. That the Lord would be his helper, would raise him from the dead gloriously. Because as Luke's gospel tells us, Jesus was ultimately headed to heaven just via Jerusalem and the cross. And he knew that. He could say these words, knowing that the Lord would not desert him. And so as we walk after the Lord Jesus, our trailblazer, we can know that he will do the same for us. That's what Jim Elliot knew, wasn't it? That he could go right into the lion's mouth and know that death was not the end. Those angels above the trees welcoming Jim and his friends into the Father's presence. Yes, there are ups and downs in our walk as we walk this pilgrimage to the celestial city, the new heavens, the new earth. Yes, there will be things that might make us feel like we're falling, that might feel like they harm us. But we can turn to the Lord and we can know the experience of his love. And we can support one another in that. We can help and care for each other in this way. That is why God has given us one another. So again, how is our walk? How are we walking this morning? And maybe we're in a position where we can help others, where we can get in touch and with those that maybe we know are stumbling along a little bit at the moment, and give them a word of encouragement. Maybe even read this psalm with them, remind them of some of these truths. Speak of how we've known the Lord as our shade, our helper, the one who watches over us. Or maybe we're stumbling a bit at the moment. We're feeling like we're going backwards. Well, don't stay there. Reach out to those the Lord has provided to help you. And let them speak the comfort of God's words to you. To help us to keep going together on our pilgrimage to the true temple, where we will be with the Lord face to face. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful psalm. We thank you for these words so full of hope and encouragement and substance and truth and emotion. And Heavenly Father, we long to walk in these footsteps, to walk behind the Lord Jesus, who supremely sings these words for us, and to be able to sing them together to one another, to hear them from one another, to be sustained for the journey, to keep walking with you. And we pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.